Good morning. This morning begins our Advent season. This morning we light the hope candle, and each week in the coming future up till Christmas we will be lighting a different candle, one for love, one for joy, and then peace, and then Christmas Eve we will light the Christ candle. I want to start this morning by giving you a definition of Advent. For most of us, we think about it just as the Christmas season, the celebration of the coming of Jesus. The definition of Advent, the word Advent, is derived from the Latin word adventus, meaning coming, which is a translation of the Greek word parousia. It literally means the arrival of a notable person, thing, or event. And see, for most of us, we don't understand the history of Advent, but actually, during the 4th and 5th centuries in Spain and Gaul, Advent was a season of preparation for the baptisms of new Christians, and it came at the January Feast of Epiphany. It was the celebration of God's incarnation represented by the visit of the Magi to the baby Jesus, His baptism by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, and his first miracle at Cana. And during this season, it was a preparation. Christians would spend 40 days in penance and prayer, fasting, to prepare for this celebration. And originally, there was very little connection between Advent and Christmas. Now, in the 6th century, the Roman Christians had tied Advent to the coming of Christ. But the coming they had in mind was not Christ's first coming in a manger in Bethlehem, but His second coming in the clouds to judge the world. And it was not until the Middle Ages that Advent season was explicitly linked to Christ's first coming. Now today, Advent symbolizes our present stance in the church in the latter days as God's people. We rejoice in Christ's coming, but we wait with expectancy for His return to consummate His entire plan for His people. Just as the nation of Israel stood and waited after the Exodus and hoped and celebrated the coming of a Messiah, we as the church, the body of Christ in this world, wait with expectation for Jesus to return. Advent not only looks back upon Christ's coming in celebration, but we look forward to His eagerly to His return. In this light of the Advent season, this old hymn we sing, O Come, Emmanuel, perfectly represents our position as the church in this Advent season. When we sing the words, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. While Israel the nation of Israel would have sung that song expecting Christ's birth, we sing it as the church celebrating that birth and looking forward to His return. Advent is that season between the fulfilled promise of Christ's birth and the yet-to-be-fulfilled promise of Christ's coming. And this morning, we look at the hope of the Advent season. And part of that hope is that because Christ came, we know what God is like. He is a promise keeper. The coming of Christ gives us a living picture of God. Christ's coming, His birth, puts a face on God. Colossians 1, 15 and 16 says this, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in Him all things have been created Let me start all over. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. This is what is meant by the incarnation. God came to earth wrapped in the body of a baby. The God of heaven came to live among us that we might know what He is like, that He keeps His promises. He came to teach us. He came to forgive us. He came to ransom us. He rose from the dead that there might be victory over even the strongest powers of this world. He ascended to the Father's right hand that He might intercede for us. He promised that He would return to fill our lives and our days and our moments with eternal hope. He opened the very doors of heaven for each of us. Can you imagine what this world would be like if God had not come in the form of a child? Our entire history would be dated different. Because now we date all of our days by the coming of God. There would be no churches. There would be very few colleges. Most of our colleges have their births as part of the church. There would be no hospitals. Most hospitals started from the church. We would not have heard of the love of a personal God. God would have never visited the world, and we would have no hope of His return. There would be no Christmas. There would be no symbolic gifts that represent the greatest gift of God. There would be no Christmas carols, no hymns. There would be a world without Jesus. Without Jesus, you know what Matthew the tax collector is? Just a tax collector. A traitor to his countrymen. Peter, James, and John are nothing more than men that fish for a living. The Apostle Paul would have been forever a cruel Pharisee steeped in the legalism and the unrelenting demand for perfection from other people. If Jesus had not come to this world, we would never have the words that offer us hope. Listen to what He says in John 14, verse 27. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." So there's hope for peace. In John 15, 11, He says, "I told you this that you may have joy. My joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." And then in John 10, He says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it to the full." These are the promises of the God that came to save the world. And because Jesus came, we know that God is a promise keeper and that He has our best interest at heart. How many of you watched the Antique Roadshow or have ever watched it? I kind of enjoy it. I always hope that I'm going to find something somewhere and pay like $2 for it, and it's going to be worth like, you know, $87,000 or something. I know that's why you don't throw anything away. That's a different sermon too. For a different season with no hope. But the essence of that, you know, when you see that Antique Roadshow, that's what the coming of Christ did. He took a young man that was really a small town redneck, that most of his peers looked down upon. He made him worth heaven. He made him so valuable that the doors of heaven would wait on his arrival. That he would transform his life. He made it possible that I could know God. And I could understand who He was and how much He loved me. and how much He wanted me and how much value I had and that there was worth in me, not because of who I was or not because the family I came from, but because the God of the universe came to earth and ransomed my soul on a cross and died and resurrected that I could go to be with His Father in heaven. That is hope for an Advent season. That I would have a new life, that you would have a new life. That my sins could be forgiven, that your sins could be forgiven. That we would know the freedom that forgiveness brings, that I wouldn't have to carry a past, that you wouldn't have to carry a past forever. That when you came to church and you sat and you talked with God and you spent time with Him, that you could lay down those sins, that they wouldn't burn in your heart forever. That you would know peace. Enjoy and have a life that would be full because there was hope for future and that this world was not all there was, that heaven stood in your immediate future and that peace with God was what you longed for and what you could one day experience. Listen to how John expressed our hope in John 3, 16 and 17. He says it this way, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That's our hope. Eternal life. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. If Jesus would not come, we would be missing a Savior. There would be no talk of forgiveness. There would be no such thing as reconciliation with God. There will only be laws to be obeyed. See, I wonder if the word grace could ever be a part of our vocabulary if Jesus had not come. If Jesus had not come, can you imagine what would have happened to the woman at the well? As she stood there, it's in John 8, and they accused her of adultery, they would have stoned her. Her life would have been over. And instead, Jesus says to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin." There's hope for her because Jesus came. There's hope for her because heaven's in her future. The words of 1 John 3 mark our hearts when he says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." That He would hold a place for us. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. This would not be here. And folks, this coming only seals the promises of the future. All of this, all of the birth is for a great purpose. It is to assure us of the coming, the hope of heaven. That's what Christmas is all about, is that God is coming back. He has proved to us how much He loves us, how much He wants for us, what He's willing to go through for us. And that is the point of Christmas, is that God is coming back to redeem His people, that one day He will appear in the clouds. And He will ransom us back. We will be His. The promises of the Advent season are a new life in Christ. It means we have the hope of heaven. It means that people like me and you can spend eternity with God above. Heaven is a real possibility. Christ has opened the doors of paradise. Think about what life would be like if there was no hope for heaven. Recently, I was asked to speak at a memorial service for a cousin of mine. And when they originally asked me to speak at this memorial service, they said to me, "Try not to say too much about God." And I can remember looking at Carol and going, "What do you say?" And why in the world would they ask me? Because the only hope I know is God in heaven above and the hope of heaven and eternal life with Him. And I don't know what you say except to talk about that at the end of this life. See, without Christ, without Christmas, the only reality is that this life dissolves into nothing. There is no hope of heaven. The Bible says it this way in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are all people most to be pitied. In other words, if Christ is only about this life and this world, then we should feel sorry for Christians. There is no hope. See, if Jesus had not come, there would be no book of Revelation. There would be no hope of a returning Savior who would come and open the door of heaven for us. There would be no hope that I might be part of that group that would hear these words that would say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You remember the parable when Jesus talks about the talents? He says in Matthew 25, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things because Jesus came. My hope is that one day I will stand in heaven and God above will look down on me through the shed blood of Jesus and He will say to me, 'Billy, well done, good and faithful. You did well with what I put you in charge of in earth. Come, look at what I have for you in heaven.'" That is the hope of the second coming. That is what it means to be hopeful in the Advent season. It's not only do I celebrate the birth, but I celebrate the coming. That I look forward in the sky. I look to see Jesus. I expect it to happen. Me and Carol watch Dancing with the Stars together. It's kind of a cool thing, all right? You can cast stones, all of you that want to. I get it. Hey. Some of you husbands need to try some of this. You can watch a Hallmark movie with your wife. You'll make big brownie points now. But we watch it together. This past week, comes on Monday night at 8 o'clock. We kind of set our clocks by it. We expect it to happen. This week, you know what happened? The Atlanta Falcons came on, Monday Night Football came on, and they put back the finals of Dancing with the Stars. Changed me and Carol's whole way of doing things. We tape both episodes, and we will not watch them. We can sit and watch them together probably tonight, both out, but probably 3 hours of Dancing with the Stars. But we live with, see what I'm saying is, look, what I'm telling you is, look, we talk about expectation of a coming Lord. Living with hope. Hope being real. If hope was real, I plan my life on it. If I have an expectation, I do things different. I sat down in the chair to watch the Florida State game yesterday. And it was awful, by the way. But I sat there at 12 o'clock to watch it because I was expectant. I was hopeful. It was going to happen. And if we're the body of Christ, if we live out this Advent season, the hope of heaven is real. Jesus is coming back. We need to live like we expect it. We don't need to be a people that put off the coming that say, "You know what? I'll get ready when it gets here." Because I got news for you. If you don't get ready beforehand, when it gets here, it'll be too late. I read a story this week about a young man that was going to get his first set of golf clubs for Christmas. His dad was an avid golfer. He loved to. He just dreamed of the day his dad had taken him out on a course. They lived on a golf course. His dad would take him out and let him hit certain clubs, and he would go on the green and putt with his dad, and he could just dreamed about being able to play golf and do it with his dad and the time they would spend together. And he got plowing around. I don't know if y'all have kids like this, but we did. Sometimes you had to hide them from Billy really good. But he got plowing around, and he found a box. Big box, about this tall. Just perfect for a set of golf clubs. Had his name on it, all wrapped up, and he began to shake them. And he was quite sure, by the sound of the shake, that they were golf clubs. And he would spend time when his parents alone, he would go into the closet where his mom had them, and he would sit with the golf clubs, and he would hold them, and he would dream, he would think about hitting shots with his pitching wedge, and what he'd do with his driver, and making, you know, being able to beat his dad one day, and making a long putt. And he would just sit there and spend time and dream of what it would be like to play golf, because it was an expectant reality for him. And Christmas means that Billy has a gift with his name on it. And see, I can know by the Word of God what the gift looks like. And I can hold it and I can read about it. See, when I held the loaf and the bread this morning, I hold it and I sit and I think and I dream about the return of Jesus and the hope of heaven and what it's going to be like, because it's a certainty, it's a reality. And I know that because God has answered His promises through the giving of His Son. So we wait, and we wait longingly for the day that the birth will be fulfilled in the second coming, and heaven will be opened for us. See, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:13, but in keeping with His promise, not our promise, His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven, a new earth, the home of righteousness, that I might live there. See, the day will come when the words of Revelation 21, 3 and 4 are a reality. The dwelling of God will be with men, and He will live with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their hope. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order will have passed away and the new will have come. And that is the hope of the Advent season. That Christ is returning and that we can be in heaven. And until that day, we are charged as His people to live out that hope. To trust in the promise of a Savior that has come, and to live as those sure that He is returning, expecting it. So it is our prayer that your Advent season be filled with the hope of a returning Christ. And don't settle for anything less. Let's pray.